little thing takes a lot of tender care to get it going, doesn't it? I'm always amazed at how many pushes it takes to get everything happening there. I just rejoice today to be here with you guys. It's just, you can't hear me? You can raise it up a little bit. I don't know how what else to do to it. All right, does that help? Can you hear me now? Many of you I have not seen since we left March 15th. Didn't come back together. Some of you I have seen. Talked on the phone to some of you. Tried to keep track of what was going on while we were apart so that we could help in any way that you needed help. But thank the Lord for His divine protection. I don't know if any of us have had the virus. Some of us may have had it and didn't know it. But God is good. We have so many promises in His Word about His protection, about His caring for us, about rescuing us. And I've entitled the message today, Rejoicing in His Presence, because I was so excited to come back together to worship in His presence together. As all of you know, you can be in His presence by yourself. You can be in His presence all the time, anywhere you are. But corporate worship is so awesome to me. It's just something that I totally love. I enjoy it. We're going to eventually go to First Chronicles and look at where David and children of Israel were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and how he rejoiced in God's presence. How he was just so thankful to bring the Ark back, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. But I just wanted to express my gratitude for his protection as we've been apart. It's been hard. I every Sunday morning wanted to get up and come to church because that's what I've done my whole life. And it was just odd to me to be at home. I did love hearing all you guys on the Sunday mornings when you preached. And it was very nice having a message every week and being able to share in the body that way. You just felt like you were part of something, part of what God was doing. And He kept this a message for us every week, something to take us through the week. And I thank Him for that. So before I go into prayer, though, Becky reminded me of something. She said that Franklin Graham was on the TV, I think this morning, said that today being the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and filled the whole group that was together there at Pentecost, he asked that the churches pray for this rioting and stuff, that we ask that the Holy Spirit would come and heal our land from the rioting and the abuse that's going on right now. So let's do that as we pray together this morning. Father, I thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us, for caring for us. Father, thank you for your protection. I thank you for rescuing the graves. Father, for all the others who have had difficulties, I thank you, Father, for rescuing them, caring for us. Thank you, Lord, that we could come back together today. Lord, that we don't have to worry, that we can trust you. Take care of us. Thank you, Father. Lord, today I ask that your Holy Spirit would come to this great country of ours and, Lord, heal our land as we've obviously got some people who are not content. We ask you, Father, just to heal their hearts. Lord, that the rioting will stop, the looting will stop. Things will get back to being normal. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ, for allowing us to gather today, to bring us together to share in this time around your word, to rejoice, Father. Rejoice in your presence. It was just so good to come together and be in your presence. Father, as the worship team led us into your presence in worship, thank you for that, Father. Song where we praised you and said, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and for what you're telling us today, that we can rejoice in your presence anytime that we want. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Father, that you made that available through your Son, Jesus, Father, that we can come into your courts anytime we want through the power of his name. Hallelujah. God bless you and thank you in your precious name. Amen. Well, let's go then to 1 Chronicles. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. If you don't know what the Ark is, I'm actually not going to go back to Deuteronomy to look at this, but you can in your spare time. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it tells about the Ark of the Covenant. It's coming in my way. You don't mind if I move it away a little bit, do you? I can't see you guys over here when I have to try to look through that thing. The Ark of the Covenant was made of wood, acacia wood, I think it says. And what it was to keep the Ten Commandments, the two tablets that Moses brought back down from the mountain, the two that he went back and got after he broke the first two. He wasn't very happy the first time he came down the mountain, but he went back up and brought two more, chiseled out two more stones, took them up, and the hand of God wrote the Ten Commandments on these stones. So the Lord asked him to make a box to put them in. So he made a case. It was called the Ark. Called an ark. And this had the covenant or the Ten Commandments that the children of Israel promised to keep the Lord their God. So it was a covenant between God and the children of Israel to keep his commands, to walk in his ways, to just to do what he asked them to do. And here in 1 Chronicles today, you want to turn there with me. We're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and 16. And David was bringing the... I don't know if you remember the story, but when he was previously bringing the ark, he was trying to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and this... It goes back into 2 Samuel, actually, trying to bring the ark to Jerusalem. While as they were coming, the oxen stumbled, and I think it was Uzzah, one of the fellows there, was protecting it, and he reached out and touched the ark, and he wasn't supposed to, and the Lord's anger, his wrath came out, and this man died because he touched the ark. And so David didn't want to continue. He stopped there at Obed-Edom's place, and he left the ark there. Well, said because of that, Obed-Edom's family was blessed at the time he had the ark there. He was happy to keep it, because it says in the Word of God that he was blessed. But David, after he built his castle that he lived in, he built his home there, and he was... Then he made a tent so that they could bring this Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. So that's where we are today in the picture. And we're going to begin chapter 15. I want to look at verse 1 and 2 first. This is after David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David. He prepared a place for the Ark of God and pitched a tent for it. He pitched a tent for it because God told him that he wasn't supposed to build the house of God. His son was going to do that. Because David was a warrior, he had shed blood, and so God said, I'm not going to have you build my temple. So David built a tent just to keep the ark in, because he wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem. And so then David said, "No one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever," because he remembered what happened when they got to Obed-Edom's house and this guy had touched the ark and he lost his life. And so he wanted to make sure that it was done the way God instructed them to do it. They carried it on poles and were bringing it back to Jerusalem. And in verse 16, David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brothers as singers to sing joyful songs, accompanied by musical instruments, lyres, harps, and cymbals. So they had singers, they had musicians, they appointed all of these people. This was an exciting time for the children of Israel, an exciting time for David. And in verse 19 it says, "The musicians," and it names them all, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were to sound the bronze cymbals. So you had percussion. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Uni, Eliab, Maaseiah, and Benaiah were to play the lyres, according to Alamoth. And Mattathiah, and these other guys, I'm not going to try to read all those names, were to play the harps. They had people that were responsible for each of these things. And then it said, Kenaniah, the head Levite, was in charge of the singing. So the singers had their responsibility as well, and that was his responsibility because he was skillful at it. So each one of these people had a job to do. They were skillful at what they were doing. So it says, so David and them, I'm in verse 25 now. So David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of units of 1,000 went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with the rejoicing. So they were really, really happy to be doing what they were doing. It had been three and a half months that the ark of the covenant was here at Obed-Edom's house, and David knew that he was being blessed for that. He said, "I want to get this thing to Jerusalem where it's supposed to be, so that the whole house of Israel will be blessed." It says, "Because God had helped the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, 7 bulls and 7 rams were sacrificed. Now David was clothed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the Ark, and as were the singers, the Kenaniah, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. David also wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouts, with the sounding of ram's horns and trumpets, and of cymbals, and the playing of lyres and harps." You talk about a great rejoicing, a great noise. These people were thrilled to come into the presence of God with singing and playing of instruments. They were thrilled. I felt that this morning, that excitement to come back to the house of the Lord. It was just awesome to be here. And I felt that excitement that they felt. I can't imagine, though, there's thousands of these guys. I don't know, maybe a couple million. Because they have, since they crossed the Red Sea, they've multiplied. There's lots of them. And they all came together to bring this ark back. It says, "As the ark of the covenant of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David dancing and celebrating, she despised him in her heart." Sad that she couldn't rejoice with him. She wasn't happy with the way he was dancing. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care about anybody else but the Father. He was rejoicing and worshiping the Father. He was dancing and celebrating. And so he was very, very happy. They brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of fig, or a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite, man and woman. And then he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So, the Ark of the Covenant was something that they used in worship. Something that they used in worship. It says they made petition there, so as we come and pray together, pray for one another, they did that. They came to give thanks. Hallelujah. Talk so much about us having thankful hearts and being thankful, and there they were giving thanks and to praise the Lord. Time of worship, time of praise to Him for all that He has done. So they were praising and rejoicing in His presence. It says Asaph was the chief, Zechariah second, and then Jehiel, Jemariah, and so on. I'm not going to read all those either. They were to play the lyres and harps, and Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. So, I sometimes wonder if we're doing enough in praise. I don't know how many of you remember the story of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down, but it says they were all in one accord. They were worshiping the Lord at that time as well. When we can all get in one accord, it's a hard thing to do with a lot of people to all feel the same, to all want the same thing, to all be at the same place. But when that happened, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, filled each one of them. It said tongues of fire came and rested on all of their heads. And can you imagine being in that type of an assembly? Wow. But that's what happened. Well, here we are with all this going on, rejoicing and for the Ark of the Covenant. And David, in these next following verses, David then, he has a psalm of thanks that he gives to Asaph. Says that day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. And it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, the judgments He has pronounced. O descendants of Israel, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac." God doesn't forget the covenant of love that He made with His people. He made that covenant with us as well, because we have been adopted into His family. We're His children. It says we're not as servants or slaves, but we're as sons and daughters, we're as children. And He doesn't forget. He remembers for 1,000 generations. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake He rebuked kings. Do not touch My anointed ones. Do My prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. You all know we've sang that part of it, don't you? Great is the Lord. Worthy of praise, He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord, our Lord, made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O family of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Hallelujah. I like the way we did the offering this morning. It was just kind of cool to watch all of you bring your offering and stick it in the plate. That was awesome. Just little things that we thought we could do to stop spreading germs. And it's, I don't know, you wonder how long, whether this is something now that'll be a permanent thing in the United States or not. Whether we'll get back to the way we were, I don't know. We'll just have to go forward from here and see where it goes. But bring an offering and come before Him. Verse 30, tremble before Him in all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Never sit out on a quiet evening and listen to the leaves rustling from the wind. Trees singing. There's another place, and I didn't look it up, where it says the trees will clap their hands. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. They were in agreement with David's Psalm of Thanks. So if any of you think that we're not supposed to praise the Lord, we're not supposed to show our enthusiasm and our rejoicing, this is a good place to go to see that it really doesn't matter how we do it. And I'm not going to be offended if you want to dance when we're praising. That is okay here. I know I've never seen that here. I have been in those kind of services, and it's really awesome to see. It's awesome to be a part of dancing in the Spirit before the Lord. Don't be afraid to do any of that, guys, because it's part of worship. It's part of rejoicing in His presence. And just a couple verses out. If you'd like to, if you want to go back and read about when David and the children of Israel brought the ark to the place where Obed-Edom lived and stopped it there. That's back in 2 Samuel chapter 6, so you can take time to go back and look at that. Just a couple other verses that I found that I'd like to share with you this morning before we close. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. It says, I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I thank you this morning, Jen, for your testimony that's where you came to. You had a trying week, a week and a half, or 2 weeks, but you came to that spot where you trusted in the Lord. And that's awesome. And that's what he's saying here. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I thank him that we've had these kind of promises through these last 10 weeks as we've been apart. God has guarded us. God has protected us. So thank you, Father, for that. And then let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is another short verse. I remember when, as a kid, they would ask us to give verses from memory, and us boys would always choose the shortest ones we could find, like Jesus wept or be joyful always. Those are the ones we picked out because they were easy to remember. But this verse 16 is, be joyful always. That's the whole verse. But it's rejoice. It's the same as Philippians was saying, rejoice in the Lord always. He is worth rejoicing in. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we're going to have a time that you can come up for prayer this morning. The elders have brought masks along, so you won't have to be afraid to come up as we pray for you. And I know that Charlotte has a prayer need, and I'd like to extend this to all of you. She has a granddaughter, right? That's your granddaughter? Great-granddaughter that's born premature. She needs our prayer, and her mother, the child's mother, needs our prayers as well. So pray for her this week. It's Laura and Charlotte. The baby is Charlotte. Mother's name is Laura, right? And so as we're praying for her, she comes up and we pray for her. Remember to pray for Laura and Charlotte this week. Laura has some infection. And the baby has also an infection that needs. She's 3 weeks old now, okay? Her infection is in her lungs, so pray for that this week. Okay. Mother? Okay. Said her mother had a stroke during the C-section, and so part of her heart's not working. So need to pray for the mom, Laura, and the daughter, Charlotte. So anybody else that needs prayer, you're welcome to come. Love to pray with you.